Blog Talk Radio.
In Napoli, where love is king, when boy meets girl, here's what they sing. When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing Vita Bella.
Bravo, John!
Hearts will play tippy-tippy-tay, tippy-tippy-tay, like a gay darandella. Lucky fella. When the stars make you drool, just like Pasta Mazzle, that's amore. When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love. When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming, signora.
Mama!
Excuse me, but you see back in old Napoli, that's amore. That's amore.
If you call her your pet, though she's shaped like spaghetti, that's amore.
That's amore. Bells will ring.
Ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling.
Sing Vita Bella.
Vita Bella, Vita Bella.
Hearts will play.
Tippy-tippy-day, tippy-tippy-day.
Like a gay darandella.
Paratella.
When the stars make you drool, just like a pasta. That's amore.
That's amore.
When you dance down the street with a cloud at your feet, you're in love.
You're in love.
When you walk in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming. Body you see back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Tutti quando canta, everybody sing.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
That's amore.
When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore.
That's amore.
When you are in a dream, but you know you're not dreaming.
Signore, if you will, prendilo. Scusami, but you see, back in old Napoli, that's amore.
Signore,
that's amore.
Welcome to another Great Ideas Radio Show. That's amore. Hello, John.
How was that?
Well, our guest tonight is going to be talking about aphrodisiac food, so I figured what an appropriate song. When the moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, hey, that's amore.
The moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie, it's a mess.
What'd you say?
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza, it's a mess.
Yes, it is a bunch of mess. Hey, by the way, I'm so glad you could join us this evening.
Oh, bite me. Life happens.
Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Grill. That's John Dilly of Defton Sauces. We do this every Sunday night at 9 p.m. And here we are again. Well, some of us do it every Sunday night at 9 p.m. So what happened to you last week?
It was an issue with Mom and Dad. My parents aren't spring chickens anymore. When they have an issue, it's kind of, you know, we have to respond to it. And it was minor. Yeah. I don't know how to get into it. This was a little minor medical thing. So it's just bad. That's a good thing. It was kind of, I guess you'd call it a false alarm, but it just shit happens.
So you actually have a good excuse, though, that you can turn into the teacher for not showing up then, right?
Right, yeah. I did not shit the bed.
One of us has a bad connection. Is that you or me? I'm hearing lots of stuff.
I got a great connection because I'm an awesome person, so.
Oh, okay. Well, it must be me. Anyway, welcome to the show. Tonight we have, well, she's actually been on the show before, but we have Amy Riley, who's going to be joining us here in a couple of minutes, and she's written several books. One of my favorite ones, which was Fork Me, Spoon Me, John. And then she's got Romancing the Stove, and her latest book, which is Eat Cake Naked. And she's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. And she always has interesting titles for her book. So
I'll tell you what, that's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, hey, it sells books. You know, sex sells. What are you going to do? Well, before we go to our guest, of course, we must get an update on what's going on at DEF CON's office.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. This is quiet time right now, I believe, because the storm has already passed. We got the Super Bowl coming up, which is pretty much our second Christmas. And sales were very, very good. They blew the doors off last year's sales. That's a good thing. But anyway, yeah, we're kind of laying low right now because everybody's pretty much done with the Super Bowl ordering. We are gearing up for the, I guess it'll be the fifth time, the fifth annual we've been to, I think. Yeah, I think it's fifth. The New York City Hot Sauce Expo, April 21st and 22nd at the Brooklyn Hot Expo Center in Brooklyn, New York. We are actually going to be doing the wing eating death match at 4 o'clock on Saturday of the show on the 21st of April. Sorry, I get to voluntarily hurt people. It's a lot of fun. Be a lot of puking, a lot of tears, just a lot of really upset people, and just the way I like it. Other than that, we are kind of quiet right now. It's just the calm before the storm when all the events and stuff like that start for the year. So we're kind of enjoying the calm. That's kind of where we are.
How's the Canada thing going?
Canada thing's going very well. Yeah, we're invading Canada in a major way. The company Peter Pepper out of Quebec, they've actually done their own bilingual labels for Quebec and all kinds of stuff. But yeah, they've already placed their second large order, and the order after that is even bigger. I mean, it's going very, very well. All of our people in the Great White North, kalukukukukukuku, all of you will like us when we finally make it north of the border. You don't have to pay those stupid shipping charges to get over the border. So, yeah, that's everything's right on target with that.
Cool. Hey, I tell you what I'm going to do, John, because there's a problem on the line here, and I don't want to bring our guest on because there's way too much static tonight for some reason. So what I want to do is you hear the static, right?
No.
Oh, I do. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play another love song. I'm going to take a quick break here, change up and reset. And everybody, don't go away. And then we'll bring in on our guest, Amy Riley, to talk about her new book.
Don't you like Motorhead? Eat me like an animal or something like that. Yes, so that'd be good.
No, we got to stay on this whole love theme. So hang on a second.
It's Motorhead. Motorhead's full of love. God bless Lemmy.
All right, hold on a second. We'll be right back. And hang tight, Amy. We'll be right with you.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night. And we call it a bella notte. Look at the skies. They have stars in their eyes. This lovely bella notte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find an enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. And the heavens are right on this lovely bella notte.
Oh,
a beautiful night, and we call it Bellanotte. Look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes, on this lovely Bellanotte. Side by side with your loved one, you'll find enchantment here. The night will weave its magic spell when the one you love is near. For this is the night and the heavens are right on this lovely.
Okay, enough of that.
Oh, you're killing me, man.
I still got the static, but whatever. It must be definitely on my end. But anyway, I couldn't take anymore. I was like, oh, Jesus. All right. Let's bring on our guest. Well, we're in the mood, though. Don't you feel like doesn't it feel like you're in the mood now? So this is like, you know.
No. Now I got gas.
All right, let's bring on our guest, Amy Riley. If you're out there, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
I have to ask you right off the bat. Say hi to John, by the way. John, say hi to this guest.
How are we doing?
Hi.
I have to ask you right out of the gate, Amy, are you single or married?
Oh, I am married.
Oh, darn it, because with the name of your newest book, which is called You Take Naked, I was going to invite you over for dessert, but I guess your husband probably won't like it, huh?
Oh, my God.
I don't know how he'd feel about that. Yeah, that might not go over so well.
All right.
I'll put on a referee shirt. This should be good.
Yeah, well, he has tested every recipe in the book, so they're all approved.
Oh, that's good. That's good. By the way, folks, you got some interesting names to your books, and you've been on our show before. And by the way, check out our website, which is eatsomethingsexy.com. We have a link here on the show that you can just click and go to. But how did you come up with Eat, Take, Naked?
Well, I really wanted to do a dessert book. It is my favorite part of the meal. It's the happy ending. And it was just a natural fit for me. Why it's called Eat Cake Naked? Well, I mean, why not? Because, you know, why
that's
not?
Always the best answer.
Yes,
the funny thing
not.
Is there's a trend right now. Did you know there's a trend right now called, like, naked cakes on social media? It's very hot, which basically means a cake without, like, frosting all the way around it. But it turns out our timing was perfect to talk about naked cake because it's the end thing.
Very cool.
Really? Have you heard this new thing, John? Because I haven't. Naked.
Well, no, I'm naked all the time in the house. I mean, I say outside, the neighbors kind of complain a little bit, but I'm good to go.
You are the naked cake, then, really.
I am. I got no frosting. I got no frosting.
Oh, yeah. He's got lots of batter and icing, too, I'm sure. All right. So.
Batter up? Oh, no.
So, Amy, I mean, is cake an aphrodisiac or just the naked part? Is that the aphrodisiac part of your book?
All of it. The book is actually desserts. It's subtitled Aphrodisiac Desserts to Heat Up Your Love Life. So it's not just cake. It addresses the whole dessert category. And even some, you know, some breakfast pastries and things as well. We didn't want to leave that out because, you know, you should be able to have dessert any time of day. But yes, we layered it up sort of with, I have a co-author on this book. Her name is Delana Flagg, and she's a cordon bleu trained chef, and she's also a nutrition expert. And so what we did is we layered up all of the recipes, not only with ingredients that are historically aphrodisiac, but ingredients that potentially could improve your libido. So, like, for example, in our brownies, we put chickpea flour instead of white flour. And you would never know the difference. The chocolate, I mean, you know, there's so much rich, delicious chocolate flavor. You would never think, oh, whoa, there's chickpeas in here. But it's much better for your libido than just plain old white flour.
So you're going to listen to this woman.
She's going to help you a lot.
I know, because I've actually got 3 cans of chickpeas in my cabinet right now. So are you telling me that chickpeas, aren't they the same thing as garbanzo beans? That's the same thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right. So are they? You're telling me that if I have a young lady over and I cook her some chickpeas, that it may heat things up in the kitchen?
Well, you know, you're never going to look at hummus the same way, are you? No, they absolutely.
Wow.
I mean, any kind of bean.
For that one. Oh my goodness. Wow, man.
They do.
I've got to be good here.
They have lots of nutrients that help support a healthy libido. Yes, they do. Plus, this is one thing that people do not think about, and it doesn't sound sexy at all, but fiber is amazing for your sex life.
Fiber.
So, you know, and chickpeas and beans, they all have a lot of fiber.
Okay. And what, so
well,
what
they
else?
Have that too, but, you know.
So what else, and some of these desserts that you have that want to increase the libido, because, you know, I need all the help I can get, so give us some more ingredients that are in some of your recipes.
So we use avocados in 2 of our recipes, and the avocados, you know, are rich in healthy fats. They're also a great source of vitamin E, and vitamin E is often called the sex vitamin because of how important it is for how essential it is to a healthy sex life.
Okay.
You getting this right?
So that is a good one.
I'm writing this down. Now I'm taking notes here because right now I'm planning a menu for my next date. So far I've got guacamole, and I've got hummus. Okay, what else do we use?
It's a dip-rich menu. Well, you have to make a dessert for Meat Cake Naked, obviously, so there's that.
Well, how is it? Does it help?
Dip-rich menu, that's right up Frank's aisle. That's mental tell you.
Yeah, what I'm saying, if it helps, I'll just make a chickpea avocado cake. How about that? Or a pie. There you go. A chickpea avocado pie. Sounds pretty good. Right,
avocado
so,
mousse pie. Actually, we have an avocado pot de crème in the book, believe it or not. Instead of like your typical vanilla pot de crème, we have one with avocado, and we use the richness and the creaminess of the avocado. It's actually completely dairy-free. You'd never guess it.
The pot de crème may be a little over his wavelength. I mean, he's more about pot de bowl because he's got really bad water.
Pudding, French pudding. Does that work?
That works a lot better.
I've got a weird question, and it plays into my what I'm getting ready to talk about here. But I found out this week that last week we had 13 countries around the world listening to our show, and so I'm just wondering, are the recipes internationally sexy? I guess. I mean, it works
works
all around the world, right?
Well, you know, I mean, historically, if you look at aphrodisiacs, they were embraced by cultures around the world. So obviously, it's going to work wherever you go.
Because the reason I'm asking, and it's this kind of, I'm playing up to this point. I have a secret admirer in Nigeria, and
wow.
It's the king. He has money for you.
Yes, exactly. And I was just wondering, because I don't know what they eat in Nigeria. I don't know if they eat, like, crickets or what they do, but I was just wondering if all these ingredients. I don't know if the secret admirer is a male or a female, but I have a secret admirer in Nigeria. And by the way, John, speaking of that, the 13 countries that were listening to our show last week, even though you weren't
here. We have Vietnam was number one again, or no?
Well, United States was number one. Canada was number two. And guess who got moved into number 3? China. China actually.
I was going to say French Guyana.
Guyana's not in there. Spain actually was number in the top four. Spain's never been on before, but they've made it to the top four this past week. Then following the UK, Norway, France, Greece, Australia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Vietnam, and Malaysia. So those are the people who
hey.
To our show last week. Hey, hey. Sorry, I had to go there, Amy, because we always give people an update. Each week, we seem to be getting more and more countries listening. I have no idea why, but...
I love it. You've gone global.
We've gone global. Yes, we have.
Yeah,
we're like a virus.
This is like our 369th show. We've had over 800 guests. So, hey, Bringing Ideas Radio is moving along. So, anyway, back to your book. So, I read on your website, or actually on Facebook, I guess it was sometime this past week, you made it to, like, number one on Amazon with your new book. Is that right?
We got to number five in the first week,
nice.
Which I'm very excited
good.
About. And mind you, this book, I have to mention, is actually just an e-book. No, I shouldn't say just. We released it as only an e-book, at least to begin. So it rated number five in Kindle sales, which was just amazing, and I'm so thrilled. But, yeah, we kind of made a bold decision and decided to go digital this time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So you were number five.
Number five in Kindle sales in the first week.
Is that in the food sales or the sex sales?
It wouldn't have surprised me as much. It was in sex sales, but it was actually in food. It was in cake, in dessert.
Oh, cool.
We're big in the dessert market already. And I found what I firmly believe is that e-books, the dessert market has really embraced e-books, and that's why I wanted to do this and kind of see what could happen, how big you could get with an e-book. So I'm excited
about
it.
You want to hear a wild one? I'm actually debating writing an e-book. I've got a page on Facebook right now. It's going to blow your mind. I'm a huge Pokemon person. That game Pokemon Go. I've been writing a huge Pokemon story since last July, and it's got a lot of followers on Facebook. I'm debating doing an e-book with it. So, man, we'll see how it goes.
I think you should. Absolutely.
I think I will. Yep.
I think the Pokemon audience is ripe for an e-book. Yeah.
I think they're waiting for my attitude.
I just don't get the whole Pokemon thing, but whatever.
That's because you don't walk around much, dude. You need exercise. You need more exercise. Yeah, explore the world.
There's
people out there. There's more than the king of Nigeria. There really is.
I know. Amy, the first two books you had, they're actually books that are in print, correct?
So I'm actually, this is my fifth book, believe it or not. And yes, all of my books previously were in print.
Okay.
And two of them, the two that you mentioned before, which are Fork Me, Spoon Me, and Romancing the Stove, they are both also available as e-books.
Okay.
But yes, this is my first e-book only title. And maybe my only e-book only title. But.
All right, so were the other two books, you said you had five, were the other two books
mm-hmm.
about aphrodisiac food, or are they about something different?
No, they were also about aphrodisiac food. One was, they're both, I think they're both out of print at this point. One was a book called Chili Aphrodisia, which was specifically on chili peppers for a publisher in the Southwest, and the other was called The Love Diet that I had a co-author on. But my three that
you know because John's a hot pepper person and he has hot sauces. I had heard that chili peppers and all hot things are kind of an aphrodisiac. So you actually wrote a book called what'd you call it
yes.
Chili Pepper Love? What'd you call it?
Chili Aphrodisia.
Chili,
yeah, and apparently it sold well. It sold well in airports in the Southwest, from what I've heard. I think it's out of print now. But, that was my second book.
Oh, cool.
Very cool.
Very cool. Yeah, John, so you thought you were it was you that was in the bedroom that was making things hot with you and Maggie. It was just the chili pepper.
What do you mean?
Chili pepper.
No, I know. No, there's a difference, Pally. We've been doing the hot thing for about, oh my God, we're going on, I think this is going to be our 15th year. That's crazy stuff. But yeah, we have a ton of fun with the hot stuff. My wife thinks black pepper's hot, which always makes the house really interesting when we're trying to come up with a new recipe. We kind of mace the house, and she runs out and she goes shopping.
So Amy, if people want to get your books, they can get them on Amazon. They can also get them on your website, which is eatsomethingsexy.com. Is there any other places they can find your books? Is there any bookstores? Of course, the e-book's not in the bookstore, but anywhere else they can find it?
Absolutely. All my titles are sold through all the major retailers. So, you know, the newest book, Eat Cake Naked, is sold through all of the major ebook retailers. And I'm just adjusting to being talking about that. So like Google Play, iTunes, Kobo, obviously Kindle, any of those places you'll find it.
Very cool.
Okay, cool. So everybody check out. And what's the cost of the ebook? I'm just curious because I've never actually got an ebook because I don't read anyway. But what's the cost of the ebook?
You never learn.
The recommended retail is $9.99, and I noticed that a couple of the retailers already have it on sale, which is kind of exciting.
Okay.
So you can get it probably anywhere between $8 and $10, depending on where you shop.
Oh, that's nothing.
Check it out. You can check out the website, eatsomethingsexy.com, and it's a shame that you're a married woman because I was going to ask you over for dessert. I was going to make cake. But,
Jesus Christ, Craig.
Oh
my God. Wow.
We're going to food news here in a couple of minutes, but what are some other aphrodisiac-type ingredients that people probably don't know? Give me some weird ones that people don't really think about.
Okay, weird ones that they don't think about. Well, you know, wine is one of my favorite aphrodisiacs. And actually, there are a lot of beverages. Coffee, also aphrodisiac.
Yeah, wait a minute. Go back to wine. Is that really an aphrodisiac,
okay,
or you just get drunk and you want to have
sex? No, because you know what happens when you get drunk. It's not happening. So, you know, I mean, I hate the word in moderation, but sometimes it's a good thing. No, actually, there are. So for starters, first of all, any food that you hear is heart healthy or good for your heart, also good for your libido because it's all about blood flow, right? Blood flow to your heart, blood flow to the nether regions. It's all the same thing. And we now know that wine, and in particularly red wine, and in particularly certain red wines like Pinot Noir, excellent for heart health, therefore also excellent for sexual health.
There you go. And you say coffee, too?
Coffee, yes. Yes. One of my favorites. Absolutely. it gives you that sort of quick bit of energy when you need it. That's sort of that stimulant effect. It's considered aphrodisiac, but also it's a mood enhancer, and you can't get like in the mood for love unless you're in a good mood. So coffee can be a very powerful tool, like especially at the end of a meal, like you have a good meal and you're kind of, it's at the end of a long day. Well, sometimes you need that little pick me up to move on to, you know,
so
the real dessert.
Really. People don't really need the caffeine at Starbucks. They've become famous and rich because everybody's getting horny. Is that what you're telling us?
Totally. It's got to be it. Because it's certainly not. Oh, I was going to say something really mean, but yeah.
Wow, no,
something
go right
about
ahead.
How
no,
the beans
the
aren't
for.
Maybe my favorite. But coffee
well,
in general, amazing. Idea. Amazing.
Okay.
So you're working at Starbucks, it's full of horn dogs. This is not good.
Yes, totally.
Oh,
totally.
Oh, God.
All right, now,
okay. Watch out.
I heard oysters. Everybody talks about oysters being an aphrodisiac. And actually, I read somewhere a weird one. I don't know if you've come across this, but I was told that watermelon is an aphrodisiac. Okay, so it is, right?
It is, and in particular for men. There's a phytonutrient in watermelon. It's called citrulline. And it is beneficial particularly to men's sexual health. The funny thing is it's more concentrated near the rind. And I heard that there were scientists trying to develop a watermelon that kind of had more citrulline throughout the whole watermelon so that you don't have to, like, eat pickled watermelon rind in order to get the benefits.
Interesting.
All right.
Say, that's some Viagra in your watermelon punch.
I know I'm making notes right now with my menu so far. I've got avocado.
Frank,
I've
you need a date first.
I'm working on that. I got chickpeas.
I'm working on that. You think of the king of Nigeria lined up. That's good.
Chickpeas. I've got oysters. I've got watermelon. And I guess I got to throw a cake in there somewhere, and then after dinner coffee. So I mean, hey, I got it all lined up. Now you're right. Now all I've got to do is get the date.
Oh my God,
Amy, do you have any new books that you're thinking about that you're coming out with, maybe in the next few months or next few years?
I am probably later. I'm thinking about doing something later this year. My writing partner on this book, Delana, she and I came up with a list of the 10 best foods for men's sexual health. And we published that on, you mentioned the website before, eatsomethingsexy.com. And it's been an extremely popular, we did 10 for men and 10 for women, but the 10 for men has been an extremely popular feature. And we're thinking of taking that and sort of turning it into a book with recipes and menu plans and all of those sorts of things.
Excellent.
Cool. Well, people, if you're listening, go to our website, eatsomethingsexy.com. You can find the three books that I guess are still in print and still available on ebooks. It's Fork Me, Spoon Me. Also, you can, Romancing the Stove, and the newest one, which is Eat Cake Naked. You can find all these also at Amazon and all the retail outlets, and also at Amy's website. And Amy, do you want to hang with us? And we're going to do our food news. It's up to you. If you want to hang on, you can.
Sure.
You can do food news with us. And,
sure. I'm just sitting here drinking wine. Let's just keep going.
I got my whiskey. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
We know what that does. All right.
Yeah.
I got to take another break.
Oh my God.
Because I've got a screw up here on my computer, so my printer didn't work. So I'm going to take a break. We'll be back here in a couple of minutes with our food news for this week, so don't go away. We'll be back in about, 3 minutes. Hang tight. Indians took this trail.
coming to drown our fears. That's why we call it
That is one freaking depressing song.
Yeah, thanks for that. That really put me in the mood to hang myself.
Well, actually, the guy's name is Larry Vaden. He was one of our past guests, and I actually hit the wrong button. I was going to play Simple Man, and I played that one. That was freaking depressing. All right. Anyway, Amy, you still with us? Or did you?
I am. I mean, that almost did me in. His voice was lovely.
Jeez. Oh, man. Because I left the computer, and I went to the bathroom, and I went and got the paperwork and stuff I need from the news, and I came back and heard the song. I'm like, good God, that's an awful song. Okay. Anyway, let's go. Did you guys hear about the supermarkets that had the everybody was going nuts about the price cut of Nutella, and they actually had riots in the store?
I read about that. That was funny.
By the way, before I tell the story, I don't like Nutella. Do you like Nutella, John?
I do.
You do. How about you, Amy?
I do.
Well, I mean, technically, it's kind of an aphrodisiac, but it's got way too much sugar as far as I'm concerned. It's like too sweet. Just too sweet.
It's hazelnut, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's hazelnut. Chocolate and hazelnut.
Anyway, it was like a Black Friday over in Europe. I guess it was actually in France. Last Thursday, the chain offered a discount on Nutella that may have been a little too steep. Shoppers were fighting and pushing and brawling in an effort to grab pot of chocolate hazelnut spread that had been reduced from an equivalent of $5.60 to around $1.75. But I tell you, the people in France really got nothing to do if they're going to fight over Nutella. And one lady that was there who actually got hit in the eye, she said my hair was being pulled. And people were actually knocking me down. And another one had a bloody face. And this was actually on the regular news. I saw an actual video of it. It was crazy nuts. But anyway, crazy nuts. Nutella. There was a mistake in the pricing. It wasn't supposed to be $1.75. But personally, I don't like Nutella. And I wouldn't have bought it if it was 75 cents. But I just thought that was weird that people over there, you think our Walmart shoppers are weird?
they take their Nutella their Nutella sales very seriously, obviously.
Taking it very seriously, too seriously. All right.
Maybe they know things about the aphrodisiac properties of Nutella that we don't know.
Obviously.
I mean,
what, like smear all,
yeah.
Like smear all over your, what, they smear all over their body? Is that what they do? I mean.
I don't know. Ask a Frenchman. There's something. There's got to be something about it.
I'm keeping my. Nope. I'm being good.
I know. You're being very good tonight. I don't know why, but you're not. You're actually being very quiet. I'm surprised.
Well, we have a very nice person as a guest tonight. It's not just you and me.
I know. But you're just being very cordial. It's very very unusual. All right.
Well,
manager.
Sundays are unusual for me because Sundays it's like the only day I really don't go out and drink beers.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
So I'm calm. So I'm sedate.
All right, before I tell this story, and John and I, and I've talked about this before, but where are you located, Amy? What state?
Los Angeles.
Oh, so you know all about this. So what do you think of In-N-Out Burgers?
You know what? I mean, it's fast food, but as far as fast food goes, it's awesome.
I don't like it. I lived in San Diego for 13 years, and my kids would ask me to take them to In-N-Out Burgers, and I would, and they have got the greasiest, nastiest burgers. Their fries are like limp. They're just like limp, grease.
I have to doctor the fries. Yeah, we bring the fries home, and then I doctor them up. I add some sea salt, some, like, coarse grain sea salt, and put them in the toaster oven and kind of, like, toast them up because they are a bit soggy.
Okay.
Yeah, we do doctor the fries for sure. If we get it, or we skip the fries. I do not find the burgers greasy, though.
I just never like that. I'm one of those weird people that I wrote it on my Facebook page this past week how I just don't like it, and I had people getting very upset with me. They said I was back to religious, and I was going to, that was something wrong with me if I didn't like In-N-Out burgers. But anyway, the interesting part about this story is they've raised their minimum wage there, and people who work at In-N-Out, the starting pay is $13 an hour. But here's the cool part. If you're a manager of an In-N-Out, did you see this story, John, how much these guys are making? $160,000 a year to be a manager at an In-N-Out restaurant.
Wow.
That's a lot.
that is a lot. That's amazing.
I mean, you get a Burger King guy around here in Jersey, hell, he's lucky if he's making 40.
$160,000 is the average pay for a manager at an In-N-Out restaurant in California. So, and speaking of Burger King,
he's going to get his palms greased. I have to admit, they have the In-N-Out burgers in Texas, and we haven't done in a while, but we used to do trade shows in town, a bunch of them in Texas, and we did the In-N-Out burgers there. I really was not a big fan.
I don't get it. Speaking of Burger King, there's another one. The Whopper. I used to love the Whopper. I mean, I used to eat Whoppers all the time. And as a matter of fact, well, speaking of aphrodisiacs, my home's known as the home of the Whopper, but I don't like Burger King anymore. John, have you been to a Burger King lately?
No,
I have not, to be
totally honest. Me and my wife are on the road a lot doing shows or whatever and like that. And the only road food, like for fast food, the only one we go to is Wendy's. It's the only one that actually tastes halfway normal.
And what about you? What about you, Amy? Do you go to Burger King?
No, I mean, I so rarely eat fast food at all. So I can't tell you the last time I ate Burger King. I'm not opposed to it. I just, yeah.
Right.
She's busy laying in bed eating cake naked and
pretty much. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, anyway, the story about Burger King, they've come out with an ad about net neutrality, and some people are saying it's a brilliant ad. I actually saw the ad. I thought it was stupid, but they talk about the basic of the story is they have the difference between a $5 Whopper and a $26 Whopper, and if you want the $26 Whopper, you can get it in special line and get the $26 Whopper very quickly. Or if you want the $5 Whopper, you've got to wait for like 10 to 15 minutes to get your Whopper. And the point of their story is they're trying to support net neutrality because they say people with money have better internet connection than people who don't. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, really? Oh, God. I guess you have to make up something to be upset about. Oh, my God.
Yeah, one of the managers, marketing managers, says the internet should be like Burger King restaurant, a place that doesn't prioritize and welcomes everyone to their store. whatever. Okay.
That makes sense. Okay, I'm not even touching that one.
Yeah, no, they're trying to be socially correct. John hates these stories, Amy, that I'm getting ready to tell, but statistics and numbers, they kind of amaze me. So, rib meat. Okay, first of all, is rib meat an aphrodisiac?
Well, that depends on the meat. I encourage people, if you're planning a romantic dinner, I encourage them not to choose beef or lamb because a high-fat red meat, well, it just kind of makes you want to fall asleep. But wild game, on the other hand, can be a very aphrodisiac thing.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me add to my menu venison. Venison.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
It's even better
after
if
the
she's
dip
in the car when you hit it.
What'd you say, Dad?
Oh.
when you hit Slamby, it's even better when she's in the car with you before you cook it.
That's so sad.
Yes, roadkill. Fresh roadkill. That'll spice up your life in the bedroom.
It will.
No.
All right, so Whitney, I just find these numbers amazing. In the month of December, how many pounds do you think were produced in America of red meat in just the month of December? John, you got a wild guess?
I don't even know how to gauge that.
No.
Amy?
I mean, it's just got to be
no idea.
I have no idea. I have no clue.
And it's amazing. 4.4 billion pounds just in the month of December was meat production and red meat, which is a slight increase versus last year, 2017 or 2016. All right, now, how about pork? Now, so it's 4.4 billion pounds of beef. How much pork do you think was sold and produced in December? And just in December now.
No, I'm
going to say because red meat prices around here are pretty much skyrocketed. I'm going to say pork went up as well. I think it went up from last year.
Yeah, well, it's actually, believe it or not, pork is only half the size of red meat, which I'm surprised. Mm. But 2.2 billion pounds were produced in December of pork in the U.S. Okay, now, while we're on these number stories, poultry, good old chicken. In December, how many billion pounds of chicken was produced in December 2017?
Seven.
Didn't they have some weird thing happen with chickens? Because I know wing prices.
Yeah.
Oh.
Actually, no, the NFL thing actually did wing prices. sales actually dropped because of the NFL. It is Buffalo Wild Wings actually took a major hit on it. I thought that was freaking hilarious.
That was funny, actually. 3.8 billion pounds of chicken. So between beef of 4.4 billion, pork 2.2 billion, and chicken 3.8 billion, what is that? 8.2. That's 10 billion pounds of meat just in the month of December. I know, it's mind-boggling. Okay, now, moving along. Where do we want to go to? Consumers who purchase fruit and vegetables directly from farmers spend more money on food groups across all other types versus people who don't go to the farmer. Now, what I found was interesting is people who go to the farmer and buy their fruits and vegetables spend almost double per week on their produce, while those who do not visit the farmer. And he gave an example here, $28.36 per week for people who go see the farmer, $16.53 for people who don't go to the farmer. Am I thinking wrong? Why is it double the cost?
Well, I can
it
give
might
you one
be partial.
I've been doing – oh, okay.
Oh, I was going to say
okay.
They probably buy more. First of all, they probably buy more when they're going to the farmer. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've been doing the farmers markets for almost 10 years now. Thousands of farmers, and if you start to get to know a farmer, he'll get you the best of the best, maybe 50 cents a pound higher, and you're willing to pay that because you've been a customer for this certain farmer for so long. He'll give you the good stuff. You go into ShopRite or A&P or one of these, you know. Places that they go to a wholesaler. It's just like, you know, 500 different farmers all thrown into the same bin. You really don't know what you're getting. And I mean, that's like when we make our sauces, we have specific peppers from specific farmers because the soil has to be right, the altitude has to be the same. We need stability with the product because the product has to be the same every time. So you're going to be paying a little bit more to get exactly what you want from a farmer that you know who actually owns the farm and picks the stuff that he's actually selling, as opposed to going to some, you know, like a Walmart where you got the stuff's being made in the basement of China, some China place. I mean, it's just you have no idea where it's coming from.
You and I had this argument of like once or twice a month. They don't get their produce from China. They don't get their meat from China. They don't get their poultry from China. They're getting it from U.S. processors. So stop throwing the China in there.
I can throw the China in there where I want to. Usually it breaks.
All right. All right, here you go, Amy. Here's a question for you. Green
Uh-oh.
Apples. Are green apples
yeah. Oh, are green apples an aphrodisiac? Specifically, they
yeah.
have to be green? Well, I mean,
yeah.
you know, the apple is the fruit of temptation. So any apple is, you know, historically aphrodisiac. Now, green in particular, well, they're a little tart for my taste, but they're great in a pie.
Well, listen to this. Green apples can
make Granny Smith happy.
For your,
yeah.
They can create what?
Make Granny Smith happy. She got the quick step.
Yes, she did.
Exactly.
Green apples can
yeah.
offer benefits for skin and overall health. The fruit is high in fiber, Amy, so what does that mean? And
yeah,
low in fat.
Exactly.
As well as a good source
that's
of
all
vitamin
apples.
A and C. But it says green apples over any other apples have been found to help nourish the skin and slow down the aging process. So there you go.
Higher in antioxidants. It might be in the skin because, you know, they have a thicker skin. That's my guess. I don't know. I'm no expert.
Those people from Jersey.
Nah! I don't really like green apples either. But anyway, if you want to slow down your aging process and you want to help nourish your skin, eat your green apples. Okay. Smithfield Foods. Smithfield make, well, don't make. They produce pork. They're known for pork sausage and pork products. Well, they have just committed to remove all gestation crates from all U.S. farms and have invested $360 million to create group housing alternatives for pregnant sows. So basically, I guess what they're doing, they're going from individual little apartments for the sows, and they're going to a commune.
Oh, my God. No.
That's what it says. Yes, that's what it says. And worldwide, by the year 2022, they're going to switch all their international farms to the group housing alternative for all their pregnant cows.
And I mean, is there, like, does this make them happier? What's the...
No, it doesn't really give a reason. I mean, okay.
Wow.
I've been involved in the food industry for a long time. According to animal behavioralists, is that how you say it? They claim that you have a happier pig when they're not in a crate, and they get to be in like a more open area, just like the chickens and just like the cows
uh-huh.
and just like everybody else. So I guess it makes them. I mean, this is going to sound really nasty. I get it, and it makes them happier, but guess what's going to happen to them anyway?
Right.
No, but they're pregnant. They're pregnant, and you know it's all of the hormonal issues. I mean, as a woman, you get lectured about all the things you're supposed to do to stay happy and calm and stress-free and whatever when you're pregnant. So it's probably the same thing that they're trying to get have a healthy birth and the healthy piglet. That's what they're going for.
But, okay, so you're a pregnant woman. Would you rather live alone in a nice New York apartment? Or would you like to
well,
live
I don't think these were nice New York apartments. I think this was
a
stall. No, if you were going to put me in a little small wooden stall or put me with a whole bunch of other pregnant women, I'd probably go for the commune of pregnant women where I'm free to stretch out and walk around and complain with someone else about how my feet hurt.
Okay.
I mean, Maggie keeps me in a cage with a gag ball. I mean, I'm she lets me out. I'm happy.
Oh my God.
Hey, John, you were quiet.
Don't mess
for a
with
while.
The gimp.
That one right there was TMI. Let me tell you.
That was a lot.
Right, John,
that was a lot.
That was. It goes along with the aphrodisiacs and the lovemaking and all that.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. John, this is your favorite story. Remember we talked about Amazon opening up the checkout-free grocery store? Well, they started it. They've got a store which they've replaced all human employees with automated systems. So there's no people in the store. The Amazon Go concept, that's what it's called, Amazon Go, uses cameras and sensors to track what shoppers remove from or put back on the shelf. So there's cameras everywhere watching your every move, which is kind of creepy all by itself. And then it automatically bills
bills you for each item removed from the store. Customers must scan an Amazon Go smartphone app to enter the store, and then they're billed as they leave. I just find that like Big Brother creepy stuff.
Absolutely.
I find it cold and a little sad, really. It's just a little sad.
I mean, when I go shopping, yeah, they got those quick checkout lines where you can, you know, weigh your stuff and like and not have to talk to anybody. I prefer going to the cashier and actually talking to a human.
Me too.
I don't know.
Yeah, I usually
maybe I'm weird. If I'm in a rush, I'll go to those little quickie lines. But it's just normal. I'll go to the cashier and actually talk to a human. It's kind of makes it a little bit better. That's just me.
Well, I always get an error at the quick line, and it ends up being twice as long. So,
right, you have to call over somebody.
Now, supposedly the Amazon concept
yeah.
won't do that, but no, it's just cold. It's like I want a human being to ask where is the whatever, and when is the something or other going to be in, and
right.
what do you recommend for the something? It's all
right.
Big.
But
yeah,
what if you're
misbilled?
Yeah, who do you talk to if you're misbilled? You can't go to the manager. There isn't one.
Well, there was an article. I saw there was an article about this. A magazine editor they failed to bill a magazine editor for a yogurt, and she, you know, so I think she emailed Amazon and said, "Hey, you know, I owe you for a yogurt."
I think of all the people who are going to try. They're going to keep on ripping them off. There's going to be somebody figure out how to walk out of the store and not be billed for anything.
With everything.
Somebody else's phone. They could knock somebody out of the head in the parking lot, grab their phone.
Go in there wearing
a
Richard Nixon mask. There's no people in there.
I know.
Don't even know who you are.
Now, the next story, Amy, I have to ask first, are you an environmentalist?
I mean, aren't we all?
Well, some
okay,
more,
maybe
some
not
more
all.
Than others. Some more than
yeah.
others.
In Jersey, things are different.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right. Because I'll probably say some things during this story that if you're a real environmentalist, you may get upset. But this blew me away. Okay, John. Do you pack a lunch, or do you, when you like when you're out on the road, or do you like pack a sandwich, or go to
no.
a Subway, or no? What do you
nope.
eat then?
to be totally honest, I do not eat during the day. I usually have one meal a day. It's called dinner.
Oh well, you truly are an environmentalist then, because listen to this: the carbon footprint of your sandwich. You're going to love this, John.
Mm.
The carbon footprint of your sandwich could be having a major impact on greenhouse gas emissions, according to a new research.
Researchers, what, 'cause the sandwich is made out of carbon? Or?
No. Researchers at the University of Manchester have carried out the first ever study looking at the carbon footprint of sandwiches, both homemade and prepackaged sandwiches. They considered the whole life cycle of a sandwich. Including
oh
the production of ingredients, the sandwiches, their packaging, as well as food waste discarded at home and elsewhere in the supply chain.
Where'd they get the grant money for this one?
I don't know. Probably it wasn't Subway, I can assure you. Altogether, the team looked at 40 different sandwich types. This blows me away that they actually studied this. They found the highest carbon footprints for sandwiches were with pork, meat, bacon, ham, or sausages.
they just
canceled me out. And those containing cheese or prawns. Of the recipes considered the most carbon-intensive variety, with the ready-made all-day breakfast sandwiches, this includes eggs, bacon, and sausage. So, you know, Hardee's and McDonald's with their all-day breakfast, they're killing us. They're the ones who's causing
more ways than one.
The research, this is going to blow you away. The researchers estimate that this type of sandwich generates 1,441 grams of carbon dioxide per sandwich. This is equivalent to the CO2 emissions for driving a car for 12 miles.
Nice.
All right, it gets better. The sandwich with the lowest carbon emission equivalent, guess what it is? Guess what's the one with the lowest carbon equivalent?
Buffalo wings.
Peanut butter.
That's Well, that's what I thought too, but this is actually kind of surprising after what they just said. Ham and cheese had the lowest carbon emission. Yeah, ham and cheese. I don't know why. The study found
if it's coming from Subway, it has a shelf. It has a half life.
Well,
another shelf life, but that's beside the point.
If you make it at home, making your own sandwich at home could reduce carbon emissions by half compared to ready-made equivalent. It gets better. According to the British Sandwich Association,
the British Sandwich Association. That just blows my mind to begin with, dude.
They call it the BSA for short.
Definitely.
BSA. More than 11.5 billion sandwiches are consumed each year just in the United Kingdom, okay? Around half of those are made at home, and the other half are brought over the counter in shops, supermarkets, and service stations around the country. That means that the UK spends nearly $8 billion a year in breaded snacks at an average cost of $2 per snack. So do the math. I didn't do the math. It's a lot of money.
Well, if it comes from the BS, it's got to be true.
It's got to be true. The BS of America. Professor Adisa, I don't know how you say his last name, from the School of Chemical Engineering of Atlantic Analytical Sciences said, given that sandwiches are a staple of the British diet as well as other significant countries, the market share in the food sector, it is important to understand the contribution from this sector to the emissions of greenhouse gases. For example, consuming 11.5 billion sandwiches annually in the UK alone generates, on average, 9.5 million tons of CO2, equivalent to the annual use, you ready, of 8.6 million cars. So it's not the cars, it's not the cows,
it's sandwiches.
All the sandwiches we're eating.
Totally sandwiches. Yeah.
Now, all
I can think is, wouldn't the money that was spent on this study have been better spent, like, trying to find a, I don't know, biodegradable sandwich wrap?
That's bizarre.
And out of all these sandwiches, think of the human off-gassing going on, too.
Well, there's that, yes.
And they actually studied keeping sandwiches chilled in a supermarket, what it costs, and how it gets off greenhouse gases. And it says that adds an additional 8.5% to the emissions on top of just the sandwiches alone and all the transporting.
DEFCON, John from DEFCON is saving the earth. One less sandwich a day.
Now, here's
I am Captain Planet.
Love. John, you're going to love this line. You ready?
Oh, no.
This is the part, when I actually read it, I actually laughed out loud. L-I-L-O-L, for real. All right. Ready? The BSA estimates extending the shelf life of sandwiches by relaxing the sell-by dates would help save 2,000 tons of sandwich waste annually. Okay, but here you go. The study recommends reducing or omitting certain ingredients that have a higher carbon footprint in your sandwich. For example, if you eliminate the lettuce, the tomato, the cheese, and the meat.
Just toast me some bread.
Mustard. You can put mustard on your bread.
Yeah, there you go. Has to be whole grain. No processing on whole grain. Oh, my God.
Reducing those ingredients, such as the cheese and the meat, would also reduce the amount of calories eaten, contributing towards healthier lifestyle.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, you eat less food, less calories. There's a brainiac. This is grant money, dude.
I know.
Yeah,
now, just
that's
you got,
frightening.
You understand. So what you've got is after you take out the – let's go again. Take the –
Take out the stuff between the bread. It's less filling. Imagine that.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So everybody
out
there, from now on, you should take – when you go to lunch, take your mayonnaise or a mustard sandwich.
Yes. Take your condiment sandwich.
Yeah.
All right. Now, speaking of the environment, this is not really a food story, but it kind of relates to the whole global warming stuff. which I and it actually kind of plays into this whole aphrodisiac thing too. Now that I think about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you're thinking way too hard on this, Frank.
Yeah, I am. Women have many options, and women have many options for oral contraceptives, right, Amy? I mean, well, you guys have all contraceptives for everything, right? But men, but men, we don't have them. Well, they found out. they've been researching, trying to find a man's birth control pill, and what they found out is. That it actually can be done, and it comes from, let me read this exactly how it says it. They found out that, the birth control pill, it's based on a chemical called uabain, O-U-A-B-A-I-N, which is a plant extract that African warriors and hunters traditionally used as a heart-stopping poison on their arrows.
Oh,
also, curare. Yeah, that's great stuff.
Eat
poison. It's a contraceptive. You know, that's man. They are brainiacs.
That's right. It kills you.
Wow.
Scientists have used a new research approach to show that by using these poison darts, the actual chemical in these poison darts, they can produce a male contraceptive, and they expect to be on the market by the year 2025.
Well, yes, death is the ultimate contraceptive now, isn't it?
It certainly is. Yeah, I mean, rigor mortis sets in only once, but I mean, come on, man, that's horrible.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Now, back to
what the hell was that all about? Oh, my God.
Well, going back to the...
I mean, you can make some really funny commercials with this stuff. I mean, imagine the commercials.
Well, listen, I don't believe this one either. Scientists have used...
Are you afraid of it? Take the pill called Sperm Assassin. Just like, I mean, the commercials can be endless. Yeah, like little ninjas
using...
killing sperms. I mean, it could be freaking hilarious, dude.
Scientists have used a new research approach to show that warming temperatures are turning one of the world's largest sea turtle colonies almost entirely into female. And there is a risk that the whole colony cannot sustain itself in coming decades because there will be nothing but female turtles. I didn't know this. This is interesting. Sand temperature determines the sex of a turtle hatching. Did you know that?
No.
No. With warmer temperatures resulting in on the sand, there are more and more females. During the past two decades, temperatures on islands in Australia and the Great Barrier Reef have increased to the point that virtually no male turtles are now being produced from these nesting beaches. The researchers have found it happening both in the United States and Australia. So there you go.
But wait, if the temperature affects it, then is like then all the eggs that hatch each time, you know, all the hatchlings at one time are all male, and the next time they're all female. I'm confused.
No, I think it's.
I assumed a variety came out of the same nest.
Yes, but now that the sand's so warm, what I'm getting is there is no variety now. The variety is the spice of life, but not in turtles. It's all coming out female.
Yeah, but like if it was a cold year, would they all be male? Like, I'm confused.
Oh, that's a good question.
Okay. Cold usually causes shrinkage.
Yes, it does. Okay, back to that aphrodisiac topic we were talking about. Okay, now let's go back to a food story. We had a guest, probably a year ago, who was trying to they were trying to sell insects, fried insects, and. And I guess now insects are the big thing, but they're really in now. Scientists are now finding out that it was thought for the longest time that our own digestive systems could not handle eating raw raw insects, but no, we were wrong. The thought of eating
you can choke down a tapeworm.
I saw an operation. They took a tapeworm out of a guy, John. It was like,
oh, dude,
it was like 2 miles long. Anyway, it turns out that inside of our stomachs there's an enzyme, and we are able to actually digest even the like a cricket's shell. Our stomachs are still, even though we don't eat crickets anymore, if you start eating them, the enzyme inside they will activate. Back in the way back when the caveman time, they used to eat crickets and bugs. The yuck factor is still there, but it has nothing to do with nutrition. Digestion and evolution have come into play. In fact, according to a new Rutgers study, insects, the food of choice for our early primate ancestors, could still be eaten and digested by almost all primates today, including humans.
Eat a bag of bugs.
Yes. Go outside and eat bugs. For a long time, the prevailing wisdom was that mammals did not produce this enzyme that could break down the skeletons of insects, so they were considered to be difficult to digest. But they have found in recent studies, the Department of Anthropology at some school, blah, blah, blah. We now know from research on bats and mice and other animals that all mammals have the ability to eat insects, including humans. So, there you go. If you get hungry, eat a beetle.
Eat a bag of bugs.
And here's the last story of the evening. You know, John, how you've heard that comment, eat shit and die?
I've been told it quite a few times, yeah.
I know both of us have. Okay, well, get this.
It's a term of endearment around here.
You don't like this story. Human waste may one day be a valuable resource for astronauts to go deep into space.
Oh, great. Oh. Yeah, let's go to space and get shit faced.
No.
That's going to be great, Frank.
A 10-state research team has shown that it's possible to rapidly break down solid and
liquid waste. You say Penn
waste.
State?
Penn State, yes.
Not State Penn.
No, Penn State. They have found that
right.
You can rapidly break down solid and liquid waste.
Because if it was State Penn, it would be more tossing salad than human waste.
Oh!
I made it funny.
Yeah, you made it funny. Well, what they found is they can actually take human waste and convert it to food. We envisioned and tested the concept of simultaneously treating astronauts' waste with microbes while producing a biomass that is edible directly or indirectly, depending upon safety concerns. What is directly or indirectly being edible?
Wow.
Well, one can put your mind to that one. I want to know who's making the crap. Is it some 500-pounder out of Walmart, or is it some guy that like really actually works out athletically?
Well, somewhere they're going to be doing this on the spaceship, so when the astronaut takes the dump, it'll go into some kind of spaceship.
Oh, you're your own stuff. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
Yes. They said it's a
wow.
Little small, but the concept,
wow. So
the
it's some close
little,
and personal. We completed
like
the circle.
Now you're going to love this. It's like eating a Vegemite sandwich.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Spread me some Nutella on that sandwich, baby.
They call it microbial goo. That's what they call it.
No.
Right.
No.
We've come full circle. Now we're eating our own poop.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They said they have to test their ideas. The researchers have used an artificial solid and liquid waste that's commonly used in waste management tests. They created an enclosed cylindrical system 4 feet long by 4 inches in diameter in which select microbes come into contact with the waste. The microbes break down the waste using anaerobic digestion, a process similar to the way humans digest food. The team found that methane.
Oh, here we go. Don't tell me. That's the byproduct. So it can fire the engines.
This is what it says. The team found that methane.
Circle. I mean, they can support themselves with propulsion.
Yes.
They have food propulsion. This is wonderful.
Eat shit and live. That methane was readily produced during anaerobic digestion of human waste and could be used to grow different microbes, which could be used for animal feed one day too. But the team concluded that with such microbial microbial growth
microbial.
To be used to produce a nutritious food for deep space flight and also to keep lights running and to keep heat inside the spaceship. The reporting life science and space research that they grew in capsules was 52% protein and 36% fat, making a potential
source. It's like eating a pill of Ritex. Yeah, yeah.
And I didn't know this. They have systems on the space station that they actually can take urine and convert part of urine back to water. They're using that.
Well, that's been known. Yeah. Well, that happens on the open oceans since men have been sailing the oceans. You can do that.
All right. Anyway,
they can't make semen. Those are actually guys walking around.
they found out a way to take out 49 to 59% of all solids in just 13 hours during their test, which was much faster than they expected. And it could be
49%. That would be
human,
that would probably be the
food.
Peanut and corn. I go.
All right.
Wow.
That's like my favorite food story of the evening.
That's great. No, eat shit and live. I mean, that's wonderful.
On that note, we're almost done.
Wow.
Amy, aren't you glad you are you? How much wine have you drank now, Amy?
Well, yeah, you know that last glass went down real fast. I tell you.
All right, well, guys, we appreciate you joining us each and every Sunday. By the way, there is no show next Sunday because next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, and we're not having a radio show, John, by the way. But join us.
Oh, I'm glad to know this. I would have been sounding like an idiot sitting there here listening when your moon hits the fire like a big pizza pie. Hey, I'd say, that's just me.
Join us each Sunday. We'll be back here on, what is that, February the 11th? We'll be back here on February the 11th, and who is our guest on February the 11th? It's going to be, I had it written down and I lost it. Oh, yeah, Marie Pisano. She's coming on. She's got a new video. It's about eating and mind, body, and soul. And actually,
eating a mime?
Buddy,
did you say eating a mime?
No, eat mind, body,
they don't
and
make
soul.
A lot of noise. You can eat them. They just move around. That's all they do.
But, Amy, thank you for putting up with us and appreciate you being on the show. If you want to find more about Amy's books, go to eatsomethingsexy.com. Check out her new book, Eat, Take, Make It. Definitely. And, Amy, is there anything else you want to add before we sign off here?
You know that, I mean, you've said it all tonight. What can I add to that? But thank you for having me. I've learned a lot. Some of it I may never forget. I might like to.
We're good like that.
Sorry about that. John, this is where it's your turn to get us off the air, so I'm turning it over to you.
All righty. Well, hey, folks, it's been another wonderful evening. We learned we can eat poop and live. It's a wonderful evening. Hey, catch us in 2 weeks. Super Bowl, no show. So, in 2 weeks, same bat time, same bat channel. See you online.
We'll see you guys. Take care. And my music's not working.